Hey, producers, welcome back. Jonathan at Success Print Shop. He just dropped a YouTube video about the slowdown, really rough and tumble March, what he's doing to try to overcome it, and how he's thinking about his business from last year to this year. It's a really good conversation and a very open one, actually. Jonathan's like very transparent about this, and this is a good one, one of my favorites. Real quick, though, we have a couple partners that help us put the show on every single week. Multicraft. If you go to Multicraft Daddy has been around for around 50 plus, well, Multicraft Daddy, Multicraft Screen Printing, and Digital Supplies, kind of same thing. They've been around for 50 plus years, providing the industry with competitive pricing. And Dave is always sending out really fun gifts, especially PMI tape, every single week to a lucky winner. DM him your email address. And yeah, he's great. He's actually, I connected him with a friend who just bought a shop in Chicago area. And so he went over there and set him up. And I know he's been supplying Campus Ink through all the craziness too, which you talked about.
Bruce, let's talk about EasyWay. EasyWay has a monthly giveaway program to give back to their amazing customers. Each month, they give away a $250 prize. It's super easy to enter. You go to easyway.com/giveaway. Make reclaiming screens a whole lot easier with EasyWay systems, chemicals, and equipment. Don't miss their giveaway. It's super easy to do. EasyWay is a staple in our industry, an amazing sponsor of the podcast. We all use them every single day. 842-701. We love the team at EasyWay. Thanks for making it so easy.
Stalls, use the code when you go to stalls.com to order your next DTF transfer order. Hustler20. That's 20% off your next order. If you're ready to take your custom apparel to the next level, Stalls is the leader in heat printing solutions. Whether you're a small business just starting out or an established brand that's scaling, Stalls makes the hustle easier for you guys. They've got equipment, transfers, and support for your business. So head to stalls.com to get started.
We have been messing around with Flock from Stalls to put on hats. CAD cut Flock. They saved the day on our headwear assortment for the Final Four. So thank you, Stalls. Speaking about saving the day, if you need a solution to improve efficiency and reduce costs in your art department, you should hit up Graphic Source. Graphic Source runs our art department at Campus Inc., and they have been grinding to do steps, mocks, creative art, you name it, getting files ready for DTF, digitizing. They plug and play with Printavo and other shop management software. There's no better company in our industry to work with. They have over 40 years in the game. They really know and understand shop needs and have a proven track record of success. Hit up Graphic Source for your art staffing needs. Mention the Printavo pod. You'll get 50% off your first vector, SEP, or embroidery order. Thanks so much to the Graphic Source team.
All right, Mr. Jonathan from Success Print Shop. We've had you on a couple times in the show. People may remember because you started your shop out of a shipping container. I think that was that's like how people remember it and have seen your shop tours. You've got a YouTube channel as well, Success Print Shop on YouTube, and it's really good. I actually really like it. And that's kind of why we wanted to have you on today. But
how's it good? Been good, doing all right. Here in April, doing all right. It's like a kind of like my last video talked about, just a roller coaster of slow, busy, like 180. So it's just like up and down all the time. But today is good. This week's been good. Like whenever the business, the press is spinning, the team has work to do, dude, I feel so like fulfilled. Like I just feel like everything I put in place and it's working, like it makes me feel just happy, at peace. And that's kind of where it's at right now, this week, this month, or let's just say this week, you know what I mean? But, you know, next week it could be something else. So good right now, but it's all over the place.
Jonathan, how do you... So like we all deal with this. And what's funny is like the first week of February, we all text each other and be like, are you slow? Are you slow? Are you slow? And then like 2 weeks later, it's like balls to the wall. Things are crazy. How do you, now that you've been at this for a little bit, how do you prepare for those months? Are there different things that you guys do so you can see it coming or plan ahead?
I wish I had the metrics and all that in place. I don't. I think our customer base has basically probably stayed the same all these years. So I do obviously know like January, February will be slow. I know that July will be slow. Obviously you put cash, you know, away when you can for those months, but it's still like, it sucks because you just like, there's never enough. It seems like there's never enough cash just to keep like in reserves, I guess. Like you put cash away in the good months, but then the slow months just eat it up immediately. So I think to answer your question directly, it's probably like, you know, cutting back hours, you know what I mean? And I do have a team that's very flexible with that. Just the way their home life is, the way they, their lifestyle is, like, I can like cut their hours and they can be totally cool. And then they can also be super cool with overtime at times. So yeah, it's probably just managing.
Do you like, okay, like, you know what you did last March, right? And so like, do you do things in January and February to try and combat them from like a sales perspective, like reorders or I need new customers, or like, how do you gamify it now that you've done this a bit?
I mean, I feel like I've taken like stabs at that, like to try to combat like the slow Januaries and, you know, reaching out to gyms and stuff. Like I've done that, but I feel like I haven't had like major success at like, okay, we cracked it and now we're going to be able to do this. And then we'll do some, like, I guess some promotions and some sales, stuff like that, like that are like crazy, like hard for a customer to say no to, you know, like 100 shirts for like $6, one color or something. So we do a little bit of that. But again, to say we have it all systematized and this is how we're going to attack July, like, no, it's kind of like it's coming. We're going to, you know, try to put some things in place before it comes, but nothing like super systematized.
And that was what this video was about and why I reached out. We'll put a link in the description because I thought it was really good, mainly because it was like reading someone's diary in kind of a creepy way, but it was like, whoa, you know, like, oh, they're thinking about this. This is what I'm thinking about. And I think people resonate towards that. It's one of your higher performing videos, it seems. Well, I mean, it's only been out a little bit, but
it's been like 2 days and it's like going all good. And it's like, it's like my least edited video. It's just kind of like, I knew I needed to put something out because I hadn't put something out in a while. And then like, yeah, start like, I just kind of talked to the camera and it was like, it's kind of performing. And I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah. And that was the premise. The premise was, hey, businesses actually felt like a roller coaster lately. And that's partially why I haven't been able to post as much as I wanted to before. You shared how March was painfully slow, and we're recording this April 22nd, 2026, and things started picking up a lot better in April. And then you also kind of talked about a couple of things that you're trying to do to smooth those out, but also the mental swings that you touched on earlier, you know, of like, the press is moving, I'm feeling good, press isn't moving, I'm like feeling terrible. How do you deal with that?
I don't want to exaggerate, but I call shops all the time, like call them, text them, like just to vent and hear them vent. Fabric, you know, I'm in Fabric and it's crazy. Like we all just are going through the same thing. So I think, you know, having that little bit of a community and support system to literally just to like call and like, you know, talk to another shop and be like, man, this sucks and this sucks and this sucks. Like it feels, you know, better afterwards or whatever. And not to play victim at all, because I know there's shops that, you know, are doing well. So it's just, you know, it's good to talk to other people that are kind of going through the same things and maybe even brainstorm a little bit on things. So there's that. Of course, I have my family, my employees. They're all, I have a good support system around me, to answer your question.
The team of five now, right? Or four, five? How many people are at Success Print Shop?
In production, there's four. One's taken a little bit out because of some personal stuff. So that's why I've been in the shop a little bit. But in on the front end, there's like another four. So in the front end's like remote VA. So I consider them all. So it's like with me, there's like nine of us.
Wow. Yeah. And Steven, it's interesting because at your size, which I think 80% of shops are around where you're at, Jonathan. And then when I hear Steven, you know, privately seeing texts of like, you know, this is more a couple of years ago, but it's like, man, summer is like really, really slow. And you have like a multiple of the amount of people and everything. Have you found, Steven, a way that to deal with the mental side of slow periods when the overhead is much larger?
I think there's like two types of panic buttons. There's the like morning we wake up, you know, like we all know you can wake up in the middle of at 3 a.m. and you're just like, shoot, like we're not doing enough. And I call that like the mid panic button, not the like everything's on fire, but like you're definitely anxious. And then there's the holy shit panic button. Like, if we don't do something now, this could have a catastrophic ending. I think 90% of our problems are usually the first panic button, but then we snowball them in our brains and then they figure themselves out and everything's fine.
That's how I felt like there kind of in March. I was like, something drastically needs to freaking change. Like, I can't be freaking in this world. I feel like I worked too hard and pushed too much and put these systems in place for it to be like this. So yeah, that's crazy. Even listening to those last episodes with Dom from Superior, it was like, and Steven and him were riffing on, like, you know, cash flow and the ups and downs. And I was just like, dang, it was just resonating with me so much. And I was just like, it's crazy. Like, I just got a small business. So I can't imagine, like, what Steven might go through, what Dom might go through with the payroll they have and stuff. But I don't know. But also, again, like, I don't want to come off at all like any type of, you know, blaming or victim, because I feel like there's things to be done. And if you're going to do them, like, you're going to win. So I know, I think for me, like, sorry, I'm kind of like drifting here, but like, you know, I got like a young family and a toddler and my wife, and I try to, you know, be present with them at times. But so it's like, I'm fighting for my time, trying to carve out time for the business, for the family, for the kiddo. So it's like, kind of, it's a lot to manage time-wise. Cause I feel like if I was single in my twenties, like, dude, I'd be going all in on like AI and automated outflow or automated like outbound. And you know what I mean? It'd just be like an endless amount of potential out there right now. I'm like, I'm just trying to like, you know, fight for every hour of my day.
Do you guys think that mental anguish that we deal with as entrepreneurs, no matter the size of your business, do you think it ever goes away?
Dude, I've been freaking thinking about that. Cause like, just listening again to you and Dom, and I'm like, man, they're still, you know, trying to figure it out. It's like, where does that stop? And yet, I don't know that it does, I guess.
Bruce, do you think it ever goes away? Like, if you are an owner and a founder, will you ever get rid of that mental anguish?
From my, I will say, amateur experience, because Printavo being the first real business, because I think things are a little bit different if you started fresh and you kind of started over based on your previous experiences. But from the first one, absolutely not. Because there was just always something more. There was always something next. There was always, you know, there was always something to chase after. Oh, we put this out. Let's put this one out. We hired this. Well, we could do more here. We're not doing a good enough job there. We should improve that. But I will say, when at least it helped me, was when I was able to start saying no to more things and being able to be a little bit more focused in what we were doing. Now, granted, tech company, so very different. So take what you will. When we said no, we're not going to service signage companies. Well, we're not going to do engraving companies. We're really not good, you know, in certain countries because of internationalization stuff. Like, when we were comfortable saying no and we were fine saying yes to, we were very specifically the screen printing shop from this size to this size. That's really our bread and butter. Like, let's focus the whole team on that. That, I think, reduced some mental load from me versus trying to think about doing way, way, way. So like, essentially I was just cutting the pie in a lot smaller pieces. And that way I could just focus on, okay, I need to spend more time on marketing for this group. I need to spend more time on sales for this group and so on. But to your point, you can go as deep as you want into that too. That helped a little bit. But the reason why I say the first coming for a second is because I think there's a lot of lessons learned from, like, it's the old, like, if you hired the CEO guy to take over the business now, what would they do? And allow you to sort of step back and look at that and have that conversation. It's a little bit different than doing it the first time and being wrapped in to the weeds there. But
I was going to say something to think about on this, like, mental anguish you're talking about. Like, I, you know, sometimes you'd be out and about and you see like an old person or old man, like, you know, totally retired and just has like absolutely nothing on their schedule for the next 15 years. You know what I mean? Like, just chilling. And I kind of look at that too. I'm like, man, like, or maybe I just tell myself this to feel better, but like this action, all this, you know, up and down every single day, like I might miss it one day. So I tried to tell myself like, this is a good thing. And it's, you know, you got your health and things are okay. Like, I try to make the best out of it, but I do think about that a lot. Like, when I'm 80 or 70, I'm going to be like, man, I wish I had some action today. I wish something was going on, you know, good or bad. You know what I mean?
Jonathan, this may be like a awkward question, so feel free to deny, but have you been able to consistently pull a salary?
Yeah. I feel like it's not much. I mean, I think I put myself at like 60K. I feel like coming into this year for the first time ever, I dialed it back a little bit for the first time ever, just because like it was just that tight. And I felt like, again, something needed to change. But I'm not living like a, you know, a super lavish lifestyle or nothing. But yeah, I've consistently paid myself. Even like the end of last year, we did have last year in general, we had our biggest revenue year. And I look back, like, where's all the money? And I think a lot of it, I think embroidery picked up a lot and I outsourced that. And I probably could find a better contractor who's cheaper, but the person I outsourced, I'm not making much there. So I think that was like contributed to my high top line. So yeah, I do pull, you know, a salary, but for the first time ever, I did pull myself back, even after a big revenue year.
Do you pay yourselves, like, say you have a really big order or something like that, you get your salary, do you ever pull money out for profit and just bury it and put it somewhere? Like,
I do. Yeah. So, I mean, like, you know, like all of us many years ago, we dived into profit first and I did set that whole thing up. But to me, and maybe I'm wrong, but like profit first works great if you have like strong cash flow, steady cash flow consistently. For me, I felt, you know, with the dips, like any profit I stashed away, which I do, I have the profit account and then I have the profit hold account. Like, it's all like, I don't see it. I got the whole thing set up and I do put money into the profit hold account, like you're saying, Stephen. But dude, like January, end of January, early February, like I'm snatching all that money and paying payroll and making sure payroll's covered. You know what I mean? So it's like, yes and no. Yes, I do it, but probably, I guess, not the right way.
Is that another bank account that could be, for example, you pull it from the profit, maybe the name of the maybe like half of the profit goes into a but another bucket that's Jan Feb labor.
For sure. I mean, that's kind of what that one profit hold I kind of have is. But yeah, probably could have another one, I guess.
Yeah, it is tricky. I don't think it's a perfect system. I have just found it helps create guardrails where we may not have good self-control sometimes. And that's where it like helps set us up for a little bit better than just freewheeling paying whatever, buying whatever.
100%.
And if you hide the money and it's out of sight, out of mind, there's like less of a propensity to spend it. So an example is like we accrue licensing fees on everything, you know, 15, 20%. And it's like $500,000 a quarter. And so like our CFO hides it. It's like in a hold account. We can't use it for anything because we know that we're going to have to pay that. But it's almost the same thing too. Like, how do you design your business to get to a number that you feel good about? Like, what you're hearing is like 60 is what I set it at, but like what would actually, and you're, you know, getting closer to $1 million, like decent sized shop. What would that number be for you that if you know you could pull this out of your company every year, you would feel really good?
Dude, I mean, like, you know, 4 years ago, I would have said, oh, this number. And I'm like, dude, it probably needs to be this number. So I'll tell you the number, but I also feel like, dude, I should be answering like something stupid, 300, 400,000, you know, it's not, but I'm just saying like, I should have that ambition in me to be like, and the goals in me to be like, let me pull this. Like, why not? I'm young, I'm ambitious, I'm hungry, I'm healthy. Like, I should be able to pull a ton. But I mean, to answer your question directly, dude, if I pulled like 150 to 200, I'd be so freaking happy, you know, I think. But then I probably like live a lifestyle that's like, man, I need more money. So it's like, I don't know where that ends. But yeah, I feel, you know, it's crazy. The ambition is like there to do as much as I possibly can. You know what I mean?
Have you been able to pull those type of numbers? Like, have you been able to pull 150 out of the company in a given year? Like, have you proved that to yourself yet?
Oh, no. And that's probably due to like the payroll I have. If I didn't have my payroll, dude, like, I mean, it'd be like, you know, if I was doing all the work, you know, it'd be like, yeah, I'd be able to pull.
But that's the flip side a little bit too. Last time we had you on is you had a really good balance. If I remember, like you were able to really, you figured out a really good way of delegating a lot of work off And you're like, I remember, were we on here? Maybe just texting. It was like, what should I be focusing on?
Yeah. Dude, that's what it was like. That, I mean, that was like 20, you know, coming out of 2021 when everybody was like, had that fund money. So yeah, it's like payrolls getting taken care of. What should I do now with my time? And that was great. And that was a season. And now we're in a different season where it's like, dude, like, why you need to be doing 2 million already? You know, I do talk to a lot of shops and it's like, I know like there's shops that are just as, what do you call it? I can do what they do, whatever. Like they have the skill set or whatever. I feel like I have the skill sets to get there. And I don't know. I think maybe when I got married and my baby, like I just kind of, you know, took the foot off the pedal a little bit, which is fine, you know, to be with the family and stuff. But now I'm in the trenches. I feel like I'm in the trenches again. Like I haven't been in a while and I'm okay with that. Like I'm okay with the work. Like I've been working for a long time. And I need to take it to the next level for sure.
But you're no longer motivated by top line. You're now motivated by bottom line. Like there's definitely a tune change. I think there's a tune change everywhere in the industry.
Talk about that from last year. So you said great top line year, but then you're like, where'd the money go? That's definitely a conversation that comes up a lot. How do you think about dissecting that? I mean, I'm sure you could say, well, you know, we contracted out a ton and this and that, but like, what does it mean for this year? As in, does that mean pricing changes so that there's more of a gap? Does that mean, like you said, do I find contractors that are cheaper? Does that, like, what applies now?
Yeah, dude, that's the whole thing I'm always wrestling with. I think as far as the contractor and embroidery, yeah, it's probably, I mean, dude, that, at the end of the day, it's always like raise prices. Like that'll fix everything. Like that'll give me a better, you know, bottom line for sure all day. But then you do that and then you're like, I don't know, we're just dealing in that commodity business. And then they're like, oh, okay, well, this other shop's going to do it for, you know, this or that. And it's like, well, dang, I need that money. I need that cash in my account. So it's like, then you drop your price. Like I do that a lot. And I know it's not ideal. And I know, you know, the books are going to say, don't sell the t-shirt, sell the value, sell the delivery, sell, you know, don't sell the commodity, sell all the value. Again, maybe that's actually, so coming into this year, this will help answer your question. One thing I did like over the last 2 years, you know, with all the delegating and all the delegating, you know, those like, you know, we all have those quote forms on our website. So somebody hits that quote form. I just had like a VA, like reach out through email or a text message to those quotes, you know, just give the price they gave. Well, coming into this year, I was like, you know, something's going to change. Anyway, I started like doing those quote forms. I started handling those quote forms. And even in the last 3 months, I've seen a huge, like, you know, the quote comes in within 15 minutes. I call them. And this is like, Kevin Baumgart has said this stuff, you know, fast quoting. But like, it's probably just gone out the other ear. You know, I felt like I had a good inbound system. Anyway, like I've been calling these folks and I mean, they're talking to the owner. I'm like freaking just smooth talking to them and this garment and this artwork and this turn time. So I feel like, I guess with the right people, maybe say me in this case, like on the phone, giving that value to the customer, you probably can maybe achieve a higher price, which is the answer, you know, higher pricing. I don't know. Then I get stuck also freaking like going with back and forth with that customer on, you know, this garment or this artwork. And it's like, dang, like, I don't know. It's good for right now, but it's like, I got to figure out a system that's like, gets somebody
at a time. I always get fired up about the initial sales email. I think we all do. And then you're roped into like the other calls or meetings or whatever. And you're like, what the hell? Why didn't I hand this off? I know I was supposed to hand this off.
Dude, that's been me. Like, so in March, that's been me. Like from March to April right now, I've just been like, I'm like all of a sudden like dealing with so many customers and I need to be handing them off. But it's like, I got to get this cash in. I'm trying to pull these orders in it.
But the speed thing is interesting. Were you just doing it faster than the VA was doing? And I mean, obviously the owner calling is a big thing, but like.
Yeah, I told the VA like, you know, respond within 24 hours. And she just like, she doesn't know that it's a prestigious college in my town or prestigious organization that's in my town. She doesn't know that, but I know that. I'm going to freaking call them and make sure I get on the phone with them. Like if they don't answer, I'll text them and then call them. And so I've already been doing that. And again, there's probably been like three or four in the last 3 or 4 months that have like, holy crap. Like for the last 3 years, I've been leaving money on the table. For the last 3 years, I've been letting a VA just kind of reach out and hopefully something trickles through. Dude, like I left money on the table. I actually want to go. When I find some time here, I want to go back to the last 3 years. I have all those people who reached out over the last 3 or 4 years, you know, in the job form and like call all those people up and just let them know, hey, I know last year, you know, we didn't, you submitted a quote. We didn't, you know, deliver or whatever. Like, I want to make it, you know, I want to get your business now or whatever.
And then so, the three follow-ups on it.
Yeah, yeah. So right. I feel like I have a huge, like, that's a whole time thing I want to dive into.
But there's like a theme here that like, you know that your time is best spent in sales and marketing. Whenever you push on those levers, whenever you talk to those clients, I'm in the same boat. Whenever I can get on the sales floor and like sell or market hard, like we make a direct impact. And I think I was talking to Dom about this. It's like, if you did, John, like one more order per day is a couple hundred grand in a year, right? But yet we get our time sucked into like 50 other things. How do you think your time is broken up? If we were to like be a fly on the wall with you for a whole week, how much time do you actually get to send in sales and marketing versus production versus putting out fires versus?
Yeah, I think in, you know, it's different, different times. So like last year, 2025, it probably would have been, dude, I was at my desk the whole time. I had my full team. It was solid. Like I said, great year. I think y'all know like, last year was a weird year with my wife's health. And so I was like a lot of times at the hospital, a lot of times just family. So that was last year. But to answer your question, like the last 3 months, like let's say February, March, I was just like, where can I get some new business? Who can I reactivate? Like, where are we dropping the ball? So I was like all there with like the sales and marketing, like you said, Steven. Now we're busy in April. I'm helping production a little bit. I actually have a girl out. My QC girl. So I've been filling in for her for the last like, you know, three weeks or so. So I think to answer that question, dude, it's like, it's always a little bit different. It's like kind of, I guess, where the business needs me. But I do, every time I do this little, like, I look at my, okay, where's my time going? It always just trickles down to like every moment I wake up, it should only be sales and marketing. And I always tell myself that. And I'm like, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. And then I wake up, you know, on Monday and it's like you said, this fire, that fire, this supplier, this equipment that, oh my gosh, dude, like, you know, equipment's always a thing. I feel like I was working on my iMage yesterday about some stuff and it's just, you know, there goes an hour or whatever. So it's just always something different. I think the answer, because I've thought about this a lot. I think the answer for me is like, wake up early, like crazy early, get a couple of, you know, hours of solid work in. And also at nighttime when the kiddo goes to sleep at 8:30, do a couple hours there. But that stuff's like, I mean, I'm a human and that stuff's pretty hard to like, you know, be disciplined on.
It's not sustainable, right?
That
but
too,
I will say, and Bruce, I know you got something. John, you've been doing some really cool habit tracking stuff too, right?
Oh yeah.
So like, can you talk a little, and you inspire me because you've been using N8N like crazy and it actually got me to be like, dude, if you want to make a run in this AI world, you have to spend like you and Marcotte basically. But can you talk about your habit tracking that you've been doing, like use an app, like all these different things that you're doing? Because I think this is really cool.
Yeah, yeah. So I have like just like one of those. I mean, you could probably download 100 different habit trackers on the app store. I think the one I have is just Habit. It's called Habit. And yeah, I mean, I have like, what do I have on there? So, I mean, it's things that are like health based, you know, trying to like work out, trying to go to bed early. So anyway, it's just whatever the habits are, eat better, sleep better, wake up early, practice Spanish. And maybe like five others I have. Oh, like track your calories or whatever. So whatever habit you want to work on. So even if it's like make 20 cold calls a day or send 20 DMs on, you know, Instagram, it's like kind of building a streak. So you click, you did it that day. If you do that for, you know, 25 days, 30 days, like you're not going to want to break your streak kind of thing. And I don't want to act like I have it all dialed in and I'm like banging out streaks. Like it's just something to help hold you accountable. You know what I mean? So
it's called Habit Tracker or Habit.
Yeah, I think it's called Habit. I think it's just Habit.
You still? I saw you post some screenshots about it. Do you still use it? Like, are you still pretty consistent with it? Or
yeah, yeah, I am. I even have like one of the habits I have there is like a bedtime affirmation, something I read to help me try to wake up early. But yeah, I think the biggest like thing about it again is just like trying to hold yourself accountable because like nobody else is going to do that. You know what I mean? Unless you join Fabric, but it's just something to hold yourself accountable.
So if you wanted to make a habit tracker for your business and your employees that could help alleviate slow months, what are the like four or five habits that you would maybe suggest to shops?
For me, I'd be like, if there was a shop who's slow, and talking to myself, I'd be like, dude, how many last week, how many organizations, how many businesses, how many churches did you reach out to? If they don't say 200, and it's like, well, what the freak are you doing? You know, including me. The habits, Stephen, would be to like, it'd be like cold outreach. And whether that's even, you know, walking in to a place or like I said, reaching out to people on Instagram, or I've been like trying, like I kind of did this a little bit, but then I kind of fell off. But just reaching out to those contact forms on like church websites. It doesn't have to be a church website. It could be like a plumber website, an electrician website, those contact forms, because those are kind of like almost guaranteed to go into their inbox. And I've seen a little bit of back and forth from that. Nothing's like come of it just yet, but you know, to me, it needs to be like hundreds a week kind of thing. So,
but could you think about making it even, cause like when we say the word, like it should be 200 a week, that just seems like something crazy and lofty that like we put on the board, we have a big meeting and then it never gets done. Could you actually put very achievable daily habits? Sorry, Bruce. Like very, very achievable that are like three of these a day, two of those a week, five of these. And those would lead to better sales or better this. Like that's what I'm trying to brainstorm.
Oh yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah. It's almost like, why not? You'd be like, why are you not doing that right now? And I'd be like, yeah, no, there's no reason not to. So yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Cause you send out personal notes. You sent me personal notes. Like, I don't know, Bruce, you've gotten some success cards before, but it's like, dude, five cards a week. That's it. You know, like, I don't know. I think it's just like, it's all the little things that adds up that we forget to do. And it like, can we get our employees to do it? Bruce, sorry, I cut you off. What were you going to say?
I was curious what you sent in the contact form. Like, was it an offer? Was it a free, like, hey, we'd love to just make you something, or send me your address to open up a kind
of. It was a quick introduction, but like of who I, like, you know, we print for other churches. My name's Jonathan and I own the shop. Trying to think, it wasn't nothing. It wasn't like a making an offer. It was more like, can you let me know? Trying to get to the decision maker, right? Can you let me know who, you know, orders for y'all? But I was talking to, I've taken like some, you know, meetings with like some outbound sales companies and appointment setting services just to see what's out there and what that looks like and stuff. And I got the idea. One of these companies was like, all right, for this much a month, we'll hit 25,000 of these contact forms for you. Okay. And I was like, and then I basically told him like, that's great. I'll keep you on mind, but like, I don't have any money to run right now with that. But, and then, you know, after brainstorming with the guy, I was like, what do y'all like say in these contact forms? Just like what you said, Bruce. And he was like saying like, you know, they'll offer like five free hats just for the meeting. Like, and he's like, it's like a low cost, you know, laser engraved hat, whatever. So you can just like, you know, offer five free hats just to book that meeting. So he was saying they've seen like great success with that. And I don't know, like, so I don't know, just also brainstorming with you, Bruce, on like what you can send in a message like that.
It's a good idea to try.
An offer for a meeting.
I see that a lot in the tech world. They'll do that. Hey, we'll give you AirPods. We'll give you a gift card. We'll give you whatever, just to book a demo. Because it's the same thing as paying for advertising to get people in the door. It's just a different form.
But if you're going to play that strategy, you have to know you're going to run it for a period amount of time. You know, there's going to be an investment and you know what it costs to acquire a customer, right? Because you could be like, okay, we sent out 50 hats. We didn't get anything. And it's like, how long, you know, you might need to spend $30,000 in freebies to be able to build, you know, do you think the reason that small businesses or small shops aren't able to get out of this cycle that you're kind of alluding to is because of a lack of like long-term investment in sales and marketing? Or is it like no strategy? Or is it that they flip their ideas every month? Like, curious to hear your take on this.
I got you in the back of my mind all the time because you're always talking about how like, you know, shops will invest in production, but not like in the sales organization. And like, it's like constantly in my head, I'm like, dude, I did this backwards. Like I should have started day one, all sales, the whole SDR, the whole freaking account executive, the whole funnel should have been there from day one. And then I could have got production later if I wanted it. So, dude, it's like a constant thing. So, yeah, I think to answer your question, it's like, you know, we all kind of just start production, screen print t-shirts is great. It's fun. And now we're trying to feed the little beast that we have. And it's like, dude, like I should have been like all up and down, like had pulling all the right levers, couldn't handle the work. I don't know. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I think it is just the sales and marketing, but like, I mean, not that I know what I'm talking about, but I do think that all the time.
You do know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You've helped thousands of shops.
Oh, no, I don't know.
So why can't you just do that then? What would it take to actually be like, okay, I'm going to build this out the right way? Is it a cash thing? Is it a time thing?
It's probably more of a cash thing. And then I always think like, it's almost like I want to take my production guys and be like, sit them at a desk and be like, guys, we're just going to, you know, forget printing for, we're going to like, just do like sales. But yeah, like to start where I'm at right now, I think I would need, someone that's not me because of my time. Apparently I can't sit down, but yeah, someone who's like, you know, at the desk, like, and just looking for new work, but it's like, I don't even know where to start there. Or how to, even if I had like, let's say 10, 20 grand right now to invest into that, it'd be like, man, am I just going to, you know, burn that cash? Cause like, that's so it's like, I don't really know the first step there, if that makes sense. That's going to be like, that's going to work. You know what I mean? I can take some stabs at some stuff, but I might just burn through a bunch of cash that I don't really already have.
What do you think, Bruce? What's the play here?
Jonathan, you kind of already told us in the first episode, at the beginning, like in between like those three customers that you'd outreach and then what you do now and the outsourcing partner, but need to find a cheaper outsourcing partner. Or maybe the one you have is good, but the pricing doesn't reflect the cost of that. And
I think, let me say this. I think something that is maybe, and I'm delusional at this point, but I've had, you know, and maybe Steven has had, and other print shops listening have had like these certain wells of an account that like really were just profitable, just sent so much consistent business, and maybe they fall off or they get bought out or they move on, whatever the reason. And I think I've been waiting for so long for one or two of those to come along again. And, you know, I have some, but I need like, let's say 5-6 more of those types of customers. And I think I've just want this serendipitous moment to happen where I shake the right hand and now I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Now we got it. And now we're going again. So I think that's like what, I don't want to say is the holdup, but if I had one or two or three or more, four of those, like I could start investing a little bit more into a sales organization within my business.
This is so interesting because you're right. We all get stuck in our routine. And there's a few times in the business's journey that you can sort of hit that refresh button. And like, it's hard to know that that's possible, but COVID, like I think was the forcing one where I think everybody said, holy crap, I can reset the team. Like I didn't want these people. Now I have a reason to be able to part ways. Like I lucky didn't have a reason before, but it was just, if it was able to force it and I can rejigger how I want the business to actually run. But there's one exercise, one that Michael does when the fabric coaches and helps that I never really got the time to do, which was, what is the exact business that I want to be a part of and running, you know, in a couple of years? And I was personally always so week to week that I never got time to actually think about that. And I think maybe part of it is like, income that I draw from it. But you're right. Like when you hit that, maybe it's like there's more and things just change. But maybe like this sounds a little hokey pokey, but like the energy spent, like where am I spending the time during the day and my energy, like my mental cycles? Like is it on like kind of brain damage related activities or is it part family, part, you know, a challenge that I actually enjoy doing? I don't know, but I do really like that exercise because then I start to use that to scope my more week to week activities a little bit better. So if I said, you know, I wanted to be able to, like you said, I wanted to be able to draw 500K, whatever it is, then what are the activities over a 5-year period for me to start to do that? So like maybe it is what Steven mentioned. I got to reach out to 3 different people because I will hit that whale or more consistent customer. If I did 3 times 5 every week, that's 15 a week times, you know, 60 a month times 12 months is 720 a year. You know, there's definitely that type of customer in 720.
Oh yeah. Yeah, dude. It's crazy. Like it's crazy when you think about the big accounts I have or have had, it's like, man, it's just because I, you know, knew this person who knew this person. So it's like, I need to be like, you know, just double down more on that and, you know, try to get referrals from those customers too.
Can I ask like a half glass empty devil's advocate question that might strike a weird nerve. How long do you do this until you realize it's not changing? We have such a high pain tolerance as business owners, and we can endure so much more than everyone else, and we can pay ourselves way less. At a certain point, we look up and 10 years have gone by and we're like, shit, this is what I've been paying myself for the last 10 years. Have you ever had any of those moments where like life is changing, family's changing, and you're like, wait a second, I can make a ton more money, right? Like, I bet you anyone in our industry would hire you in a second and pay you well over six figures to go do something awesome for them. Have you ever thought like, hey, I just don't want to do this anymore? Or do you have like pride that you hold on to? Because this is something I think about too. Like, how much longer can I take this?
Let me see. So like, as far as like getting out or anything like that, that's 100,000% like zero on my mind. As far as buying more equipment or getting more employees, 1,000% no. I'm 100% once I hit a threshold, or I mean, I hit capacity at my shop with my equipment, with my team, maybe one or two other members, like, dude, I would just broker everything out 100,000%. So I'm not like trying to, you know, like you said, move on or get out in any, I don't ever think about that. I just want to like, once I hit capacity, like broker more out. I feel like you had another question in the beginning of that one. I feel like I might live in that moment constantly of like, something's got to change, something's got to change. But yes, I mean, like, well, what are the actions you're doing to make it different? And, you know, I feel like it is every other month a new, like, I mean, like, as y'all know, dude, like every day you wake up, I don't know about y'all, dude, I'm getting like a text message every other day of like, dude, I just built this. I just built this with Claude. And I'm like, holy crap. Like, the potential is crazy out there, and I want to build stuff and move on to things too. So, but it's like, I got to focus on my business right now. I got to make sure team is paid. I got to make sure bills are paid. So it's like where I'm at right now, like, is like getting to a certain revenue or yeah, a certain number that like things are a little bit more comfortable. But yeah, dude, I mean, there's like endless potential right now with like the AI stuff. And y'all know that, like, I mean, Steven, like you said, with your production, one of your production guys creating like a, you know, supply thing, just like overnight or whatever is crazy, dude. Like, I want to work on these things just as much as everybody else, but it's also like, I got to get Success Print Shop solid, you know, a rock.
That's a good question, Steven. Essentially, it's like, because there are some shop owners that I talk to that I've asked, you know, do you think it's a better option to have a job? Not for you, Jonathan, but like some folks that are just literally not able to pull anything and are very stressed out and say, hey, dude, like you could get a job and you could clock out at 4 or 5 o'clock and have a nice evening and be okay. You know, should you pull the plug? And I haven't seen anyone pull the plug that way, but I think it's okay.
Well, I feel like we all went into business to prove something either to ourselves, someone else, the world. So like, I think the first thing is our pride. Like if our pride wasn't an issue and our ego wasn't an issue and like the tenacity to just win, common sense would tell you if you're continuing to do the same thing and getting and not getting the results you want, you're going insane. But yet as business owners, we will put ourselves through that. And so I just think, I think it's one of the hardest things to do to actually say like, what is my limit and what am I not willing to do for how long? And then actually set up some guardrails and say like, hey, if in 3 years I'm not pulling what I want, I need to figure out what's next. I think about that too. Like we're in growth mode, but that doesn't mean anything, you know, that doesn't mean much.
The fact that like, that's why I love listening to the, you know, y'all's podcast and the shirt show, whatever, like the fact that like Steven and Dom and all these, you know, big, big shops that I inspired to be one day or like look up to, I guess I should say, are still dealing with these like types of emotions makes me feel like, okay, cool. Like I just got to get comfortable living with this, you know what I mean? I'm always telling myself that, like, you know, like just being comfortable with the hard things, like a cliche probably in business, but just always trying to remind myself like, hey, I have my health. My wife has her health now. My baby has her health. Like everything is okay outside of that. You know what I mean? So I'm always reminding myself of these things.
That there's also this other, you know, on the flip side is like, as entrepreneurs, we just figure it out. We've proven ourselves time and time again. We figure it out. And I think there's also just like a glass full of like, I'm going to figure it out and I'm going to be okay and the world won't end.
And I think we hear enough of the whatever business leaders we look up to say, like, you know, how hard business is and, you know, they push through and then they came out on the other side. And I drink all that Kool-Aid. So I'm right there like, okay, this sucks really bad right now. Last month sucked really bad. But like, I'm going to look back one day and say, man, it sucked really bad one day. And now it's like here because I pushed and I pushed and I pushed. And I watched, y'all know that guy that walks up to people on, you know, TikTok or Instagram. And he's like, tell me how you got rich. And tell me, like, his name's James. I can't, or School of Hard Knocks, I think it is. I can't remember. But anyway, he walks up and asks people, like, how did they get, you know, rich? And like, I watched one last night. And the dude was like, he was driving a Ferrari. And he was like, yeah, I own a private equity firm or whatever. But he said, at one point, I was $13 million in debt. Holy crap. He's like, but I never freaking quit. And I push. And I was just like, you know, I drink that Kool-Aid. I don't know if that's like bad or good, but I'm like, that's going to be me. I'm not $13 million in debt, but you know what I mean? I'm pushing all the time.
Love it. Jonathan, you guys should watch his video and follow along. Make sure to subscribe to his channel because Jonathan, you put out some great videos. And if folks want to be able to reach out to you, what's the best way?
I say Instagram DMs, like Jonathan_10X, I believe it is, or maybe 2 underscores, Jonathan10X. But yeah, definitely check out the goal with the YouTube is really I want people to, you know, when they're watching or eating breakfast, eating their lunch, like they just put something on and be able to watch, like, and have some entertainment and feel like they're not alone in this crazy freaking industry. So hopefully, you know, yeah, y'all check out, I think it's Jonathan Success on YouTube.
Pronouncers, thank you guys so much for being able to join us on this episode. We'll see you next week. Thanks so much for listening. Hopefully that was informative. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to like. Don't forget to hit the bell for notifications. If you enjoyed this video, if you enjoy all the stuff we're putting out, it's really helpful. We love to just be able to see it. That means that we're doing a good job. To subscribe, hit the bell for notifications and hit the like button. And I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.